Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. And today, what I'm bringing you is a long explanation about tornado season. Tornado Alley is expanding, and the South is seeing more twisters now than ever before. Let me give you just a few introductory comments and observations before we get down to the, as they say, the nitty-gritty. Different states are being affected much more than in the past by tornadoes. Mississippi, Alabama, and Kentucky have seen the biggest increase in tornadoes compared with the rest of the country. Nighttime tornadoes are twice as fatal as those which occur during the day. Of course, we've all gone to sleep at that time, and people might not hear the warnings. Also, with respect to population density, regional risk is an important thing to consider now. Regional risk factors, which contribute to increased fatalities, such as more people living closer together in the South than in the plains. And that puts more people in harm's way when a tornado develops. And you might not think about it, but trees do pose increased risk. Traditional homes can generally withstand wind speeds of 60 to 90 miles per hour, but many trees cannot. Trees with saturated soil around the roots and internal trunk decay can be particularly vulnerable. And the amount of tree coverage is important as well. Tornadoes occurring in the eastern part of the U.S. might also be obscured by heavy rain, and they are more likely to be hidden from view by hilly terrain and by trees. Trees can prevent people in a tornado's path, confirming the threat. And so what I want to do now is tell you a bit about the latest research findings of tornadoes. Basically, over the last 50 years, if you live in a place like Dallas, Texas, your chance of a tornado there has gradually gone down. And this is according to Victor Gensini, who is an associate professor in the Department of Geographic and Atmospheric Science at Northern Illinois University. But if you're in a place like Birmingham, Alabama, or Memphis, Tennessee, your threat has gone way up, according to Professor Gensini, who has studied tornadoes ever since one struck his hometown in Granville, Illinois, when he was a senior in high school. It's not that Texas and Oklahoma don't get tornadoes, he said. They're still the number one location in terms of tornado frequency. But the trend in many locations is down over the past 40 years. In Alabama and Kentucky, though, from 2000 to 2020, the annual average of reported tornadoes more than doubled from the annual average of the prior 20-year period. That average rose by more than 50% in Arkansas, in Mississippi, in Missouri, in Tennessee, and in Virginia. Technology is a factor here. Technology has led to more tornado reports, but it hasn't accounted for all. Scientists can't pinpoint precisely how much of the increase is coming from additional tornadoes and how much is a result of an increase in the reporting of tornadoes because of improved forecasting technology, more development, and more people with cell phones who are reporting storms. For example, scientists point to the widespread use of Doppler radar, an increase in storm spotting and storm chasing, and the way the 1966 movie Twister and other storm-chasing weather shows have captured the public's imagination and attention. Recent trends indicate that there are about 1,200 tornadoes a year nationally, give or take a few hundred, according to the Storm Prediction Center, which is an agency within the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It is tasked with forecasting the risk of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes. No nationwide increasing trend is seen in the total number of tornadoes rated at least an EF2, with winds of at least 111 miles per hour. And you may remember that the tornado occurring just recently here in the Northern Illinois area was a EF3, the one that struck Naperville, parts of it, and Woodridge. Still, the tornado threat is increasing in the southern part of the United States, an area that experts say is more vulnerable to tornado deaths and injuries. And as for why this is so, why tornadoes are increasing in the South, experts say that's not yet clear. The tornado conveyor often begins when dry winds coming in from high over the Rockies meet moisture-laden low-level winds blowing up from the Gulf of Mexico. The interaction provides the wind shear, which is a change in wind direction with altitude. It provides the wind shear that is an essential ingredient for tornado formation. Tornadoes also lift, and instability is required. Hurricanes spawn tornadoes, also are a threat across the South. And the season this year started June 1, is expected to be another active one for hurricanes. Not every landfalling hurricane, however, produces a tornado, but others cause major outbreaks. Hurricane Ivan in 2004, for example, produced 118 tornadoes when it made landfall just west of Gulf Shores, Alabama. And there are several factors in play here. In fact, there are a host of factors which we have to consider. These increase the deaths and the casualties that are taking place in the South, according to Professor Gensini at Northern Illinois University. These factors include the following: an expanding population and increased population density compared with areas to the west in the plains area. Secondly, harder to see tornadoes that are wrapped in rain and not the photogenic funnels that many people would envision. Third, there are more mobile homes and more aging mobile homes in the South. In fact, when I was teaching, one of the courses that I used to teach was entitled Settlement Geography, and examining the types of density of settlement in different regions of the United States. And I found that the typical house type in the southeastern part of the country was the mobile home. And this is not the kind of home to have if tornado frequency is high. And lastly, there are more nighttime tornadoes occurring in the South. And these are all factors which have been responsible for increasing casualties from these storms. Of the combined 117 tornado deaths in the United States in 2019 and 2020, 113 were in southern states. That includes 30 in Alabama, 27 in Tennessee, and 14 in Mississippi. There were 6 fatalities each in Oklahoma and Texas, where we often assume that most of the tornadoes are doing the most damage and causing the most fatalities. In the area where the increased tornado frequency expands to the east, the population increases dramatically, especially when one crosses the Mississippi to the east, according to Professor Gensini. So does the number of mobile homes. Of the combined fatalities in 2019 and in 2020, nearly 60% occurred in mobile homes. The number of mobile home deaths. I won't give you more data than that, except to say that tornadoes that arrive at night pose an even greater danger to the public, resulting in more than twice as many fatalities as tornadoes that occur during the day. And this is from information supplied by the University of Tennessee. And so we've gone quite far into our subject of the tornado season and the change in the intensity, frequency of these storms. I think we'll pause now for just a moment or so, let you listen to some nice music, and I'll be back. Across the U.S., tornado outbreaks, or swarms as they are called, when 30 tornadoes or more occur in a single day, happen 2 to 3 days a year, rather than on one day every couple of years. In the 1970s, the U.S. averaged 150 days a year with at least one tornado. And then every other year, the US would have one day with at least 30 tornadoes, but that's not true anymore. In the last decade, we now average about 90 days per year with at least one tornado, but we average 2 to 3 days per year with at least 30 EF1, that's the weakest kind of tornado, but you certainly don't want it at all, and EF1 and greater tornadoes. A lot of changes in the tornado data can be explained by changes in reporting practices, according to some researchers, but it's really hard to explain what they're seeing in a fewer number of tornado days, but more on a single day. The tornado then is a phenomenon of constant study for atmospheric scientists. Researchers know that heavier moisture streaming in over the central United States from the warming Gulf of Mexico increases thunderstorms and also intense rainfall events. They don't yet know whether or what effect climate change may have on tornadoes, their increasing numbers in many southern states, or the rising number of outbreaks that we're having. Can't say right now with a high degree of certainty that climate change is influencing tornadoes in one way or another, according to Professor Gensini that we were quoting earlier in the program. He says the signals point to climate change, but there is still a lot of work to be done before we can have any degree of certainty. What is changing is where tornadoes are occurring. Up in the Mid-South and down in the plains, the southern part. And some of the climate models suggest that's exactly what will happen in the future. So is the future here now? It's very clear. A growing body of evidence suggests severe weather activity could start sooner in the year, it could end later in the year, and it could become more variable, less consistent, with more high-end years and more low-end years, according to Professor Gensini. So we have some years where it's more quiet, and then some years where it's all gangbusters. Well, it's very clear that tornado seasons in the last 2 years have become a lot more variable and less consistent. That's about all we can say at this moment. But I will tell you or suggest that if the warning sounds, do not ignore it. How do you defend against a swarm of drones which are attacking on the battlefield? Well, the drone arms race has sparked an anti-drone body of research to defend against attacking drones. And in 2019, the U.S. Army began using the Raytheon-developed Howler system, which can be attached to tanks and other vehicles and scans for enemy drones with the radar. If it detects an incoming drone, the Howler system launches a 3-foot interceptor drone called the Coyote that detonates on impact, destroying itself and the threat. But using such a defense in a heavily populated area carries a high risk of civilian casualties. And so researchers are examining less explosive options. One interceptor drone created by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, called DARPA, blasts what appears to be silly string at the drone. It gums up the rotors of the drone and causes it to fall from the sky. China, meanwhile, has developed a 20-barrel Gatling gun, which weapons experts believe is intended to counter the threat of drone swarms by throwing up a wall of bullets. But anti-drone research is still in its infancy, the defense is playing catch up while the offense marches downfield. More about this in the future. Did you know that the Brits now are said to eat better than the French? Move over, France. Britain is now Europe's foodie mecca, according to Jonathan Miller. Sure, 50 years ago, the UK culinary scene was comically terrible, a depressing slog of greasy fish and chips, while everything French was better. The bread, the cheese, the wine, the bistros. Now the reverse is true. When the British have shamelessly appropriated all the chefs and cuisines of the old empire, so that the streets of Britain literally teem with curry joints and dim sum cafes. Every cuisine in the world is represented now, or sublimely reinvented, and not just in London, but in small towns throughout the United Kingdom. Across the Channel, the French ignore the cooking of their former colonies and their traditional brasseries that tourists flock to are more like theaters pretending to be restaurants. The food isn't cooked on site, but supplied by giant industrial kitchens owned by American corporations. What the French actually eat is McDonald's, the country's biggest restaurant business. When they aren't snarfing down terrible imitations of pizza or grisly kebabs, even home cooking has died in the French kitchen, where the ritual of preparing dinner now consists of microwaving a bœuf bourguignon from the frozen food giant Picard. Am I French bashing? Said the writer of this article. Well, yes, that's because the French should be ashamed of themselves. And this was an article in the Spectator publication in the United Kingdom, as you might suppose. We're getting closer to the end of today's program. Before we leave, I thought I would tell you what the next program in this series will be. I was talking about drone warfare today in terms of defense against drones that are used by an attacking force. Well, in our next program, I'm going to talk a lot more about drones and the future of drone warfare. Where were drones first deployed? What advantages do drones have over warplanes? Where are these drones being made? How else are drones changing warfare? So if you'd like to hear quite a bit about drones, you want to tune in next time. Also next time, I'm going to follow up a previous program about Detroit early auto manufacturing. Remember, I talked about Henry Ford and Henry Leland and their competition in developing automobile companies in Detroit. Well, in the next program, I'm going to tell you about the Model T Ford, the Model T Ford craze, which lasted for several decades and tell you about the different jokes that people told about having a Model T. And then if you're patient with me, I might even tell you about the Amish population in the state of Michigan and how it has been changing. So we're toward the end of our program, and I wanted to tell you on the way out today that when you hear the alert, the sirens go off, that you do not want to ignore them. When we're having a severe thunderstorm, or it might be a possible tornado. If you don't have a basement, that's all right. You can go and get in the bathtub. So please pay attention to warnings when you hear them. And so, my friends, that's going to be the end of today's show. You take care out there. Wear your mask where it's appropriate. And tune in to 101.5 on your FM dial. And we'll bring you a little of this, a little of that. I'll be here waiting for you.